And now, to quote Monty Python, and now for something in the Science Show completely different. A peek to next week, when the whole Science Show is about one creative spirit, Terry Pratchett, and one retiring Vice Chancellor, David Lloyd, in Adelaide. And here to remind you of Terry Pratchett is Dr. Len Fisher.
Terry Pratchett lived in a village near me in England and is one of my favourite authors. Since his untimely death, the newspapers have been full of memorable philosophical and humorous quotes from his novels and interviews, but their selections largely miss the point because Pratchett's novels are, above all else, concerned with scientific thinking, presented in a way that captures the imagination. As with the Ig Nobel Prizes, first they make you laugh, then they make you think. Let me present my own selection of Pratchett quotes to show you what I mean. I'll start with my personal favourite from Night Watch on the difficulties of understanding quantum mechanics.
It's very hard to talk quantum using a language originally designed to tell other monkeys where the right fruit is.
All the philosophers in the world couldn't have put it better. And how about his invention of the quantum weather butterfly in Interesting Times? It's a very, very clever juxtaposition of concepts from chaos, quantum theory, and biology.
The quantum weather butterfly, Papilio tempesti, is an undistinguished yellow colour, although the Mandelbrot patterns on its wings are of considerable interest. Its outstanding feature is its ability to create weather. This presumably began as a survival trait, since even an extremely hungry bird would find itself inconvenienced by a nasty localised tornado.
He even has something to say about the conservation laws in The Colour of Magic.
Magic is bound to obey the law of conservation of reality. This demands that the effort needed to achieve a goal should be the same regardless of the means used.
Surely this should be added to the standard laws for the conservation of angular momentum and energy. The Colour of Magic also has a wonderful sideways swipe at John Cage's 4 minutes 33 seconds of total silence, turning it into a scientific experiment. Once, while a student of practical magic at Unseen University, and for a bet, the student magician Rincewind had slipped into the little room off the main library, the room with walls covered in protective lead pentagrams, the room no one was allowed to occupy for more than 4 minutes and 32 seconds, which was a figure arrived at after 200 years of cautious experimentation. Pratchett even has a dig at one of my own areas of science, which was the study of water-repelling surfaces. In the kingdom of Krull, this property was used by wizards to power flying vehicles.
Wizards in it must all be gifted hydrophobes. You mean they hate water, said Twoflower. No, that wouldn't work, said Rincewind. Hate is an attractive force, just like love. They really loathe it. The very idea of it revolts them. A really good hydrophobe has to be trained on dehydrated water from birth. I mean, that costs a fortune in magic alone, but they make great weather magicians. Rain clouds just give up and go away.
When it comes to understanding the nature of science itself, the Weird Sisters had something to say.
Just because things are obvious doesn't mean they're true.
That's true. But where does the inspiration for science come from? According to Pratchett, it comes from
particles of raw inspiration that slip through the universe all the time. Every once in a while, one of them hits a receptive mind which then invents DNA or sonata form or a way of making light bulbs wear out in half the time. But most of them miss. Most people go through their lives without being hit by even one. Some people are even more unfortunate. They get hit by them all.
Sadly, Pratchett didn't name these particles. By analogy with neutrinos, perhaps they should be called creatinos, or perhaps inspiritons. Granny Weatherwax in Equal Rights actually uses the scientific method.
I makes a note in my almanac, see? I checks. Most things most people believe are wrong.
The Light Fantastic also has some neat scientific twists, beginning with the design of the library shelves.
The library at Unseen University was probably the only library in the universe with Mobius shelves.
A Mobius strip is twisted so that it has only one continuous side, but library shelves, twisted or otherwise, are nothing compared to the laws of the universe as specified by Pratchett.
The universe, they said, depended for its operation on the balance of four forces, which they identified as charm, persuasion, uncertainty, and bloody-mindedness.
I love that he started this list with charm, which is one of the six types of quark. The light fantastic features wandering shops that just appear anywhere in the manner of the pop-up shops of today. But how could they work? People in the book had many theories, but all these theories, diverse as they are, have two things in common. They explain the observed facts, and they are completely and utterly wrong. This is a great sideways swipe at the "it sounds right, so it must be true" type of thinking. Pyramids has some very subtle digs at the philosophy of science and the use of scientific terms.
What does quantum mean anyway? Tooby shrugged. It means add another naught, he said.
And here's another of my favourites.
There was a notice on the dune. It said in several languages, Axiom Testing Station. Below it, in slightly smaller writing, it added, Caution, unresolved postulates.
Just brilliant. Finally, we come to Mort.
Mort was one of those people who are more dangerous than a bag full of rattlesnakes. He was determined to discover the underlying logic behind the universe.
Yes, scientists and their ways of thinking are dangerous. Maybe that's because we try to think the unthinkable, like trying to understand the nature of time. In Mort, Death has his own answer.
Time is adjustable, said Death. People think it is important only because they invented it.
I believe that Pratchett's novels have done more than have the writings of most science communicators, including myself, to interest people in science and the ways that scientists think. Let's just hope that a successor soon emerges to carry on the tradition that he started.
Len Fisher, a fan. And next week, in the first of our summer specials, the Vice-Chancellor from the University of South Australia, David Lloyd, talks to me about why Pratchett is such a hero of his, still selling a million books a year, a decade after he died.